There could scarcely be more of a contrast between the account of the Transfiguration, where the body of our Lord himself radiates the beauty of God, the glory, the holiness, the purity, the splendor of Almighty God. A contrast between that on the one hand and the crucifixion on the other, when that same body radiates not the purity and the holiness of God, at least visibly. What it demonstrates is the fragility of man. On the cross, that body bleeds. That body has been beaten and scourged. That body is mocked. That body is pierced. And that body dies. The contrast is vast. And yet, the transfiguration, this glorification of the body, the earthly, physical, human body of our Lord, is profoundly connected to the crucifixion. That point is made clear by the Church, who very deliberately give to us this day the account of the Transfiguration and the first reading, the sacrifice, or the almost sacrifice, of Isaac. If you think of the Transfiguration account, there are references to our Lord's passion almost throughout. As they come down from the mountain, our Lord tells them not to speak of what they've seen until after he's risen from the dead. He's speaking about his death as they end the experience of the Transfiguration. If you think about that moment of epiphany on the mountain, our Lord's body displaying this glory of God, Moses and Elijah who peer beside him, Moses who gives to the people of Israel the law, the first five books of the Old Testament, and Elijah the prophet, one of the greatest of all the prophets of Israel, representing all the other books of the Old Testament. Here the entire Old Covenant gives witness to Christ. St. Mark in his Gospel, we've heard, does not refer or explain exactly what they spoke about, just that they were speaking. Another Gospel gives us the detail of what they discussed. And he says that they were talking about our Lord's passing, which he was to accomplish in Jerusalem. Our Lord speaks to Moses and Elijah about his death. You think even the details of the Transfiguration itself on the mountain. You think of the account of Abraham and the almost sacrifice of Isaac. God says to Abraham, go to the mountain I will point out to you, and there offer your son. And he sends Abraham to Mount Moriah. Those who know their Psalms will know where Mount Moriah is. It's the same place that we refer to as Mount Zion. It is the place where Jerusalem is built. Abraham almost offers his son Isaac on the mountain where Christ will die. And on that mountain, the voice, or rather just before Abraham and Isaac go to the mountain, God says to Abraham, take your son, he says, your only son Isaac, whom you love, or your beloved. It's the same phrase. And there on the mountain of the Transfiguration, God the Father deliberately refers to that by saying of our Lord, this is my son, the beloved. Listen to him. Any good Jew soaked in the Old Testament will see what's happening on the mountain of the Transfiguration. God the Father is deliberately evoking the image of the sacrifice, or the almost sacrifice, of Isaac. There a father is commanded by God, take your son and offer him in sacrifice. God the Father always willing and determining that that sacrifice will be incomplete. That son will not be sacrificed, because God is using Abraham to teach Abraham and us what his plan of salvation will be, except the son that Abraham has in Isaac is not enough for the salvation of the world. God is simply displaying to Abraham and to generations to come on this mountain, a son will be found whose life is pure enough, whose person is holy enough, whose glory is great enough for that son's sacrifice to redeem the sons of men. And Isaac, chosen as he is, and called to be patriarch as he is not enough. God the Father is preparing Abraham for what the fullness of salvation will reveal, which is the son to die on Mount Moriah is his own son, my beloved. The transfiguration reveals just who is this son who is to pour out his blood, so that at that moment on the cross, the disciples, ultimately the church, as she follows from the disciples in time, will recognize the same transfigured Son, not only in his glory, but in his suffering too. And they will recognize that body which radiated the beauty and the majesty of God is the same body that now bleeds and dies for them. This is the Son whose death they celebrate. This is the Son whose life has already been poured out on you and on me in baptism. Not just a good prophet, but the Lord God the Almighty, who revealed his innermost truth on that mountain before Peter, James, and John. That same Christ, that same body that you are about to receive in this most sacred, holy communion. This is the Son who died for us, who completed the sacrifice of Isaac, suspended for almost 2,000 years until the Son could be found and was ready, whose death, whose sacrifice, so perfect and so innocent, offered in such love, without any bitterness, without any condition, whose blood poured out is sufficient to wash from you and from me all sin, to strengthen against all temptation, to purify and to make holy once again a people chosen by God to be his own family, his own household. This is the one whose body we are to receive, the transfigured and the crucified, the glorified and the ascended. The one God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In the words of the liturgy of Good Friday, come, let us worship. God bless you.